Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Mr. Fires, and Sandy hits one deep to right field. Going back, Mazzara. He looks up. It's gone! A three-run home run! Sandy Leon! Sweet swinging Sandy. He's back.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Rangers.
Carson set, now the 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three, ball game over. And the Red Sox have taken 3 of 4 from the Texas Rangers, winning their third straight game. And Chris Sale was dynamite today.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Ken Laird on WEEI.
All right, your Red Sox take care of business today. The Bruins do not. It's a Red Sox review, but I get a feeling this is going to be a little bit of a Bruins review tied in here with you until 7 o'clock tonight. And you can join the party at 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. The Red Sox, outstanding Chris Sale day in Arlington to take 3 out of 4 from the Texas Rangers. A couple of more home runs. Been a big theme of the year for the Boston Red Sox. 16 home runs in their last 7 games. And they right now are headed for a big showdown with the Yankees, who also came back from a 4-0 deficit, walked off the Cleveland Indians. They just played 2 first-place teams in the Astros and the Indians, and won both series. Have won 15 out of 16. They're just on an amazing streak right now. Tuesday through Thursday should be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, though, if you're a Bruins fan, you do not have any games coming up. The Bruins eliminated, lost 4 straight. I'm going to go with my man Mutt and call it a gentleman's sweep. They never heard that term before this NHL playoff series began, but there was some talk about that the Bruins had given up the first game to Toronto and were going to go on to a gentleman's sweep. Did they even lose the first game to Toronto? I don't even remember anymore. Anyway, gentleman's sweep. You lose the first one, then you come back and win the next 4. That's what happened in this one. And Tampa clearly kicking some ass here in the last 4 games with help from the officials. I know it was a big talker after the game 4 and the loss for the Bruins at TD Garden. Game 2 as well. But again today, the 5-on-5 production just not there. I'm watching the Red Sox primarily today, watching the Bruins out of the corner of my eye, but you score 1 goal, that pretty much says it all. And just judging from the social media reaction, you tell me if you watched the Bees game, the 5-on-5 play, obviously severely lacking for the Bruins throughout the series. They went 9 straight periods without a 5-on-5 goal, like 140-plus minutes of action, either it was not a power play or a shorthand, or in the case of Friday night, they got a shorthanded goal to take the lead momentarily before the some would say the officials took away their lead late in that game, and they lose 4 straight. It's not like they got embarrassed in any single game, with the exception, I guess, of game 3 at the Garden. That's going to be the one that sticks out because you fell behind 2-0 early. Really, both home games, 3 and 4 at the Garden, where this series was lost when you look back on it. They fell into 2-0 deficits in the first 10 minutes, both of those games. They had the chase big time on Wednesday in game 3 and just could not do it, could not come out from that hole. Tampa's a pretty effective team when they get a lead, and they put on a clinic that night. Friday game 4 was a game they really had to have, and the Bruins, with help from the officials, no doubt about it, no help from the officials, I guess, if you want to put it that way, could not get out of that hole. And the Bruins dropped that one in overtime. And it felt like the series was over. But the other thing that, you know, surprises me about the Bruins, this was a team all year where resiliency was their calling card. And they never seemed to be able to, or never seemed to have adversity strike them that was too much to overcome. So in the case of, you know, going through injuries this year to Bergeron, to Marchand, to various players, they were always able to overcome it every time and avoid long losing streaks. The only adversity that really you thought, okay, this is not a good way to finish it. They lost game 82 with a chance at that time to take the Atlantic Division. They seceded that to a Tampa. And instead of what may have been an easy five-game series like Tampa had in round one against Jersey, they had to go seven games with the Leafs. They come out of that series victorious, but afterward, they're forced to go toe-to-toe with a Tampa team that had an easy five-game series. And even though Boston was the better team in round one, perhaps that caught up with them over the course of the series. That's an easy excuse to make, I guess. But it's one that has some, I think, truth to it. The other truth is, right now, it's tough to sit here and say Tampa was not the clear better team. And for a while, I watched Ryan McDonagh after the trade deadline, and he looked like the big pickup from the Rangers, the big defense prospect who went for a pretty expensive price. The Bruins were in on him, but they decided it was too much to pay. Tampa decided we're going for it, and they're going to pay the price, and they got Ryan McDonagh in, and it sounds like Ryan McDonagh had a very, very good game today for the Lightning as they lock it down in game number four. And they eliminate the Bruins by a final of 3-1, a 2-1 game that with an empty netter became 3-1. So McDonagh makes a difference when all is said and done. But I got to say, I'm very surprised. I'm surprised, first of all, before the series started, I said Bruins in seven. Thought they had a pretty nice matchup against Tampa. In the regular season this year, they were 3-1. Going back the last couple years, that's not been a team that they've been embarrassed by. In fact, they've had the upper hand. It's a good matchup in a lot of ways because Chara and McAvoy can take out Stamkos and Kucherov at even strength. And for much of that series, they did that. But very surprised that they win game one 6-2. And then afterward, it becomes Tampa's third line, the Braden Point line, which by the end of the series became the top line, whatever you want to call it, first line, third line. They were playing against Bergeron and Marchand for a lot of the series, and they had the better of the five-on-five play. Braden Point scores again today on a breakdown by Kevin Miller. I mean, you can see that on the replay. That is a brutal giveaway in the second period, which turns the tables and ties the game at one. Tampa would later score on the power play to go up 2-1. JT Miller, and I understand there was a controversial non-call and a headshot. JT Miller could have been in the box. Again, some officiating, but bottom line is you got no production from the Rick Nash line. They, for a lot of the series, were tasked with playing against Stamkos. I don't think you expected them to score a bunch of goals at even strength, but they got to get one over the course of a four-game stretch. Unable to do so. Losing Torrey Krug, a big blow. Obviously, you lose some of your firepower on the back end, but still no excuse to not come up with a 5-on-5 goal for the last, you know, better part of nine periods plus. So that is a tough way to go out for the Bruins. And I don't know if expectations were legitimately like, you, some of the odds before the series began where Bruins were like the fifth favorite to win the cup. That seemed excessive to me. Just that it's a year in the NHL where there's not an obvious favorite, so I guess you could understand it. I didn't think they were the clear best team in the East. And if they would have matched up with the Capitals in the conference finals anyway, that's not a matchup that historically you like. But if they would have gotten Pittsburgh, I think that would have been a possibility of a pretty good matchup for you. Pittsburgh's down 3-2 in that series right now. So, I don't know, maybe you avoided yourself some embarrassment at the hands of Ovechkin and the Capitals, if you want to try to paint it fuzzy that way. But very surprised, bottom line, to see the Bruins go out four straight.
Didn't Tampa expect to be like the easier matchup? I mean, I sort of felt like regular season it would be different in the postseason, and it was, but I thought a lot of hockey people wanted Tampa as the matchup.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, they played Tampa three times late in the year, so it was tough to get a real gauge, and it was all bunched into the final stretch of the season. You would like to have seen kind of a more fair sample, I guess, over the course of the year. Tampa's good. They were in a cup final, 4 years ago, and they were in a conference final, I think, 3 years ago. So recently, with a lot of the members of the team that are still there, this is a good Tampa team. There's no doubt about that. But I would have agreed with you that as far as the matchup goes, I thought they were a better matchup than Toronto was. Now, Toronto ended up getting them first and taking them seven. It was not like they were a pushover when all was said and done. But I'll tell you why I like Toronto. They just had, as far as personnel and matchups go, not as good of a defense, that's for sure. But they had forwards who could match up with the Bergeron line. Kadri before he was suspended. And it turns out Plekanec was a pretty good matchup center. I didn't think Braden Point had this in him. The third line center of the Lightning. Did not think he had this in him. But by the end of it, he's the star. He is the story. So, Bees fans, what's your thoughts on this? 617-779-7937. How do you feel about going out four straight? Does it put a significant spin on how you felt about the Bruins season this year? Because before the year began, if you want to rewind the clock, this was thought to be a bubble team. So if you would have asked Bruins fans before the year began, coming off the loss to Ottawa in round one last year, what your expectations are, if you would have said round two, seven-game series win over Toronto, almost a division title, okay. But that all changed big time as the year went on, and you gave up a pretty good prospect and a first-round pick for Rick Nash. And I defended Nash to a point. He was good in game one, but he did not deliver anything to the point of what you expected from him in this series in games two through five. Just no way around it. I was thinking for a while the Bruins might bring Nash back. And, you know, because he's a free agent now, you would consider maybe signing him. I think the Bruins have $9 million in cap space. There's no way he's coming back now. He'll play somewhere, I guess, if he wants to, but he's a shell of what he was when he was a 40-goal scorer. And maybe that was the difference in this series. The trade deadline, you went for Nash, he didn't deliver. Tampa went for Ryan McDonough. He was excellent by all accounts today against the Bruins' top line, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak. And those guys didn't deliver either. The lone goal today from Krejci on the power play, but in big games, in desperation games, you're looking for your best players to score as well. I really would have to go back and watch it from start to finish to give a better assessment of how they played, but it didn't sound like they delivered either today. So it's just a weird way to go out for the Bruins. Very strange. It's just I would think you would classify it for the Bruins as it's still the beginning of the era. It's not like the window's closing for them, so it's not the end of the world if you're a Bees fan. In fact, it's still a pretty good season, but it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. The Marchand stuff is going to be, I guess, a talker for the offseason. I don't think there's any chance they would want to move on from Marchand. Some people were suggesting that yesterday after the lick. I am not one of those people. That's crazy talk. Brad Marchand is one of the 10 best players in the league, and I don't think there's any way you would entertain getting rid of the heart and soul of your team and what's made that top line the best line in hockey. But they didn't prove it in this series. Marchand clearly had some dirty moments when pushed, and so now, I guess as an organization, you have to decide whether we're all in committed to Marchand and Bergeron, which I would think they would be. And then you're just waiting for the next wave of talent to come because they do have some pretty good young players. Ryan Donato played for the last two games of the series. Didn't really bear any fruition. Again, not having seen most of this game out of the corner of my eye, I saw Donato a little bit, but didn't sound like he was a major impact. And they put him up with the Rick Nash Krejci line, at least the start. So, that's a young player you expect to make big leaps in season two. Charlie McAvoy had a pretty rough series, actually, all things considered. It's his first full year. I know he got a little cup of coffee last year, but he'll be better in year two. They'll get Brandon Carlo back. Lazan, Zaboro, Forsbacka Carlson, a lot of young guys in the system. Sinishin, we'll see. I mean, they're going to have four or five rookies again next year who are flirting with playing. But Chara's going to be older, probably the last year for Chara. Bergeron's older. These guys are getting into their 30s now. Marchand has a lot of mileage on it, and that's a type of a player just that, again, there's an incident or two with him every year, so it wears on you, I think, as the fan base. You can deal with it when he's an elite player, and he was, and he is. He's a great player. I don't think you would trade him. I don't think the window's anywhere near closing, but they're going to have to hope that the next wave puts some speed on this team like Tampa's got, because that Brayden Point line controlled the series when all was said and done. He and Tyler Johnson, who's been around for a bit now, well, you know, former part of that triplets line, an excellent line. The speed of Tampa evident, much better on the blue line. Hedman, McDonough, and, you know, it's not even a goaltender issue in this series. Rask played fine from what I saw. Again, today, he's going to be blamed no matter what they do, whatever they give up. But I didn't think this was anything where Tuukka Rask is even in the conversation as one of the goats of the series. Now, if they had lost in round one to Toronto, absolutely, it would have been big Tuukka talk. But not now. It's more of the depth of your scoring. And I guess a little bit of the top line who failed to deliver today. So we're talking Bruins here for a bit. If you want to weigh in until 7 o'clock, we can turn it over to Sunday Night Baseball at that time. Give us a buzz, 617-779-7937. I'm Ken Laird. Also, it's, of course, officially Red Sox review, so we'll take your Red Sox thoughts if you want as well. Preview that New York series coming up, 6-1 Boston. Chris Sale, pretty big day if you're a Sox fan to see Sale back to elite form. He had been good, not great. Today, he was great. Outstanding slider, fastball touching 99. But the slider was back to peak form. That is huge news, because I was actually wondering if he had some medical issue. This guy's been incredibly durable throughout his career, but you got to wonder how long a guy can go without having something that's a little bit wrong with him. Today, he had it back. Maybe it was just the cold weather, whatever. Back to elite Chris Sale today. He won't pitch against the Yankees. David Price is in there Wednesday. Conversely, he is not right. He got rocked 11-5 earlier this week. It was the final in that game. And loss to the Royals, and he's talking to Chris Mason, media member, about having chronically cold fingers. So he's going to go Wednesday. If he gets shelled in the Bronx Wednesday, it could be a pretty ugly reaction from Sox fans here on Talk Radio on Thursday. But that's ahead, and looking forward to that series, obviously, with the Yankees as hot as you can be, 15 of 16 right now. Wow. And the Red Sox bringing some power of their own. A couple more home runs today. Bottom of the order delivering a bit as well, so Bruins and Red Sox both on the table. Let's go to Tim and Lowell to start us off here on Red Sox Review. Hi, Tim.
Good afternoon, Ken. Well, let's talk about the Bruins, because this season just ended.
Yep.
You know, I was a kid when the Bruins won their first two Stanley Cups, and then I seen them win 5 years ago. Let me say, in my lifetime, the only time the Bruins have ever won a Stanley Cup is when they put on the ice a physical, hard-nosed, intimidating hockey team. When they try and play what I call ice-capade hockey, a finesse style of hockey, they are never successful. And not only are they not successful, they basically lose the fan base that they built up over the years, people who admired that gaunt, Sherry-style hockey. I know Sherry never won a Stanley Cup, but, you know, his team's, because the Canadians at the time were the, in their way. But the people have grown accustomed to that hard-nosed physical style. I'm not surprised they got beat. I hardly watch the games anymore. And I didn't watch 1 minute of today's game because I knew it was going to happen. I watched the other games in the series, but I saw the handwriting on the wall.
So you think, Tim, you think they were not physical enough? You think they were...
Oh, my... Again, they were out hit by the bleeping Tampa Bay Lightning. Are you kidding me? Sean Thornton must have been sitting in his apartment in a condo over there in Charlestown. He must have been embarrassed watching his team getting pushed around. Obviously, Chara ain't going to get pushed around.
Right.
But the team in general, they're an ice-capade hockey team. I call it soccer hockey. And it's affecting the whole league. I know they're trying to eliminate the physicality from the game. That's also why you're seeing a bunch of empty seats throughout these arenas in the league.
Well, you know, but Tim,
hard-nosed hockey, I don't care. They're going to get beat, go down swinging the way they used to play.
Tim, real quick, I'm not saying you're wrong. They were out hit per the stat sheet I'm watching today. But you know what the narrative is going to be around the NHL is that they are not fast enough to compete with Tampa. That's what people are going to say, that they have too many plotting players like Backes and Chara, etc.
They've tried the finesse style, Ken. It doesn't work. And by the way, I'm not Tuukka Rask fan. I'll never win a championship with him. This is not his fault in this series. These last few games,
no,
I didn't watch today's games. So I don't know how he played. But they could have been losing these games by 5 goals. He made some spectacular saves. Yeah, he's given up a couple of goals that you wish he got. But overall, I thought he kept them in these games. So don't blame him.
No.
It's a team. If you take a look at how the Celtics play, hot, desire, hustle, what they should have done was, in the off day, they should have showed them films of Marcus Smart playing basketball and then see if you can carry that effort and determination onto the ice.
Well, Tim, I'm not going to say that's a bad comparison because that's going to be a comparison that's brought up frequently. Why don't the Bruins have the heart of the Celtics? Because we've seen right now a Celtics team that's depleted go on an incredible little run here. But let's just compare the opposition, okay? They're playing the Sixers, who are a tragically bad franchise recently, have an idiot for a coach, and Ben Simmons, who's not ready yet. Tampa is a good franchise, okay? You lost to a very good hockey team, one that right now got Ryan McDonough rolling on the blue line, and they're going to be a tough out for the Capitals or the Penguins. In fact, I would say they're a favorite in that series and are probably going to end up in the Cup Finals. So you may have lost to the eventual champions here. So it's not, but in terms of going out four straight, that is surprising. In terms of, you want to say, not enough resilience and pushback, I am very surprised they went out fairly quietly. I mean, they went out, I guess not quietly, because Marchand licked a guy Friday night. But you lost two at home. You terrible starts in games 3 and 4 at the Garden. That is inexcusable to fall into a 2-0 hole both those nights. Pretty bad giveaways, one from Grizzlick to start that one game, today from Kevin Miller. So they had some bad moments. But I don't agree with Tim on the physicality. You have people, that I'm telling you, you're going to have people who are saying Backus was a bad signing, Chara shouldn't be in the league anymore, this team needs to get younger, faster, less gritty than they have at parts. I can understand there are players like Krug that can get pushed around, Donato. They have some finesse players, but for the most part, compared to the rest of the league and some of the teams that are left, they're not fast enough. To New Hampshire we go. Adrian's hanging on the line. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, I guess on the Bruins, I have to disagree with you because you need both. You need speed and you need aggression and you need hard hitting. They didn't have that. They didn't have the grit. I mean, if all you have is Marchand licking people, then you're in trouble. They just need more of that. There are some fast guys that can hit in the league, and a lot of the teams that are left have that grit. Tampa Bay slammed them all over the ice. It was horrible to see a Boston team, Bruins team, getting hit like that and not responding. You need both. You can't just have one.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adrian. I would say, like, on the blue line, you got McQuaid and Kevin Miller, a couple guys with Chara that are pretty big physical players as far as defensemen go in this league. So, on paper, they have the quote-unquote grit factor that you would want, I think, for an NHL team in the makeup. They just didn't score in this series. I mean, we can disagree. I mean, I understand Bruins fans have a long history of appreciating physicality and going back to the 70s, a certain kind of style that appeals to a fan base, but you win in this league with speed. Look at the Penguins the last couple of years, not just Crosby and Malkin. They've had it, and Tampa's got it as well. And you just didn't, 5-on-5, you didn't deliver. You got beaten this series. I mean, Braden Point and Tyler Johnson are not big physical players. I guess gritty in terms of they stood toe-to-toe with Marchand and Bergeron and came out the better line when all was said and done, but I would disagree with that. I think you're going to need Trent Frederick, Ryan Fitzgerald, Forsbacka Carlson, the next Sinishin, the next wave of forwards need to give you some a little bit of, I mean, obviously you want tough players always, emotional, passionate players in the NHL, but you want some speed on your side. All right, Red Sox Review, keep it going with Bruins reaction. 617-779-7937. I'm Ken Laird with you until 7 o'clock. We've got some Alex Cora post-game talking about Chris Sale. We'll work that in. Red Sox win it 6-1 over the Rangers. The Bruins eliminated, done until September. Only the Celtics preventing a Red Sox-only town for the next couple months right now. And what's your reaction to the Bees getting eliminated today? Give me your goats for the game, the series. Who to put this on? How disappointing is this finish getting beat in foot? Really swept out the mutt gentleman sweep after winning game one. This is Red Sox Review on Sports Radio WEEI.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
I mean, like I said, I was able to stay a little bit more loose. Just had a good rhythm, too. Just, I think a lot of things combined just being a little bit more within myself too. My first handful of starts, I was kind of getting away from some things, and these last two have been, you know, kind of where I've needed to be in terms of at least point and body-wise and all that.
It's Chris Sale talking after the Red Sox 6-1 win this afternoon in Texas. They win it 6-1 and take 3 out of 4 from the Rangers. And Chris Sale, 7 innings strong today. He had 12 strikeouts, most on the season. Also had a bunch of 12, I think to be exact, swing and misses on the slider. And he talked there about the feel. He was awesome today, and a lot of people were watching the Bruins in their elimination. We're talking Bruins and Red Sox here until 7 o'clock. I'm Ken Laird, by the way. But in terms of the Red Sox, real quick, we'll get back to the Bruins and some of the calls and the fallout. Just if you missed this game today, Sale dominated, 2 more homers. J.D. Martinez, another shot. The Red Sox with 16 homers in their last 7 games. 8th of the year for Martinez, and he is hot going into the Yankees series. He was 2-for-4 today to raise his average to .349. So first couple weeks, I think the J.D. Martinez first impression was not real strong. Took him a while to get his swing going, but right now he's got an 8-game hit streak, and he's hitting it opposite field with consistency. 8 homers. Mookie's got 13. Betts did leave today's game, was hit by a throw from first down to second base in the shoulder blade, and for a while it looked kind of bad. I thought he maybe got hit in the wrist or the hand. He was flexing it. He was like holding it limp. Trainer came out. He stayed in for an inning and then left the game after his at-bat in the top of the second. So I don't think it's ultra-serious, but something to keep an eye on. But anyway, Betts is just all-world right now. .355 average. J.D. Martinez, .349. Mitch Moreland today with a double, an RBI double in the first, and a single in the 7th, 2-for-4. He right now is hitting .347, and I think if you're a Red Sox fan, you got to seriously consider Mitch Moreland as an everyday player. He's been not an everyday player, sort of a platoon guy. He's been in and out. They've used him more lately, but how do you get him in the lineup every day? That's a question that they've got to figure out an answer to. I guess the only answer is really to sit Jackie Bradley Jr. and to play as a permanent outfielder, J.D. Martinez, because Hanley sat today, but Hanley is hitting the ball well. You want him in the lineup every game in that Red Sox series right now. And the top six of your batting order, when you can do that, is awesome. Awesome. As long as Benintendi's hitting. And he's went kind of backwards today. He took an 0 for 5 and sunk back down to 244. But when you've got Benintendi going, you've got Betts, Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, Mitch Moreland, Xander Bogaerts, and Hanley Ramirez. 5 of those 6 guys hitting in the high 300s right now. This is a heck of an offense. From 1 through 6. And then it's just a total wasteland from 7 through 9. They did get a 3-run homer from Sandy Leon today, but that is the exception. Most nights, they have just nothing right now from the bottom of the batting order. Nobody around the league has complained about that. In comparison, you know, who has a top six like the Red Sox do? And then again, the Yankees sort of do. And they got a 3-run walk-off from their number 9 hitter today, Gleyber Torres, who has been quite a story in his call-up. And if you look at the series coming up Tuesday through Thursday, Yankees-Red Sox, you've got to like the Yankees pitching matchups because Price is going Wednesday. Pomerantz is going Tuesday. Was better his last time out, but he's, you know, he's a 6-inning, 3-run guy kind of at best, at most. Severino's going on Tuesday. They'll have CC Sabathia at the back end, and I think Tanaka's in the middle guy. So it sets up to be awesome. Plus, of course, the fight the last time around, Joe Kelly back. We'll see if there's some retaliation. You got some excitement going on legitimately right now with the Red Sox, and these Red Sox-Yankees games all year are going to be highly looked forward to, but this right now you've got two teams. I mean, the Red Sox have won. They're actually only 8-7 in their last 15, so it's not like they're on fire, but with the Yankees this good and one game back, 15 out of 16 from New York, the ratings are going to be huge. Gigantic for this midweek series, which you don't see very often these days for baseball. But today, the bigger story today and the weekend, Bruins, Celtics, 617-779-7937. The Bruins are out. They go down 3-1 today. Very surprising to me exit for the Bruins to lose 4 straight like this. I thought it was a good matchup for them coming into the series. And I know there was some bitching, like a, you know, puddles of tears around the city of Boston from not just fans but media members as well about the officiating, They definitely got hosed with a non-call on Marchand. End of game two. No question. Should have been a tripping penalty on McAvoy. End of game four. I don't want to blow them off because either call could decide a game in the series. And it was putrid officiating. But, if you ask a hockey fan somewhere else outside that's a non-Bruins fan and just say, okay, so you're complaining because you didn't get a call in the last 10 minutes of a hockey game in the playoffs. Let me just give you a reality check. They put the officials away. That kind of happens from time to time. It's tough to get calls in the last 10 minutes or overtime of NHL games. And you gave up the first two goals at home in games 3 and 4. You looked awful in the first 10 minutes in your own building in those games. Today, they obviously had some opportunities. So they had the two-man advantage. They did capitalize on the Krejci goal, but they got it looked to me like they got severely worked in this game just by some of the stats and some of the reaction. I was watching mostly Sox doing the in-game scoreboard updates, but it looks like they got pretty significantly outplayed by Tampa today. So no response with your backs to the wall. You scored one goal in game 5. You scored one goal in game 3. 9 periods without a 5-on-5 goal. I mean, the officiating, the bitching about officials is not going to go very far if that's the way you win out. If they would have crawled back in the series, forced it to 7, you lose that way, you got a better case to really complain about the league jobbing you. But right now, you got beat by a clear better hockey team. So the question is, how drastic of a change are you looking for if you're a Bruins fan? You've got another run at least with Bergeron and Chara now because you re-signed Chara for one more year. But Chara's not the same player. You need other defensemen around him to start picking up some more minutes. McAvoy had a disappointing series, if not entire playoff. He's your bell cow guy going forward. Brandon Carlo hasn't played in the postseason for 2 years in a row because he can't stay healthy. But maybe he'll get a shot at that next year. You've got some good young defensemen still coming along, you think. Traded one of them, though, for Rick Nash. Got you a series win, but Rick Nash didn't deliver in this series. They've got some older sort of plotting players in segment one. We had a few callers who were suggesting they're not enough grit. I think you look at a guy like David Backes, possibility he could be bought out, actually. Too gritty, quote-unquote gritty. Too slow. He was demoted to the fourth line in this series. I mean, he took a big headshot today and left with a concussion. But you signed Backes for, he's going to make $6 million each of the next 3 years. He's got a no-trade clause next year. I don't even know if they can buy him out, but I guess I don't know. I actually have to do some research on what their options are there. Nobody's going to trade for Backes, but they got 3 years at him at $6 million per. That's tough with the guy who was demoted to the fourth line by this time in the series. They're not going to lose that many significant free agents. You know, the pickups at the deadline. Wingles, Gianta, Holden, those were all rentals. Tim Schaller, you could probably re-sign. Riley Nash was a good player, but he didn't show up in this series either. So really, your core is intact. You've got good young players coming. I don't think they'll even consider trading Marchand. Some people wanted that or were calling for it yesterday. I think that was a complete overreaction. Maybe Greg Dickerson was just looking to drive phone calls. I don't know. On Saturday, that might have been the case.
Did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I'm sure that did light up the phone lines. I'm not sure he actually believes that. But there was a lot of outrage at the Lick. People were very offended by that. Should have been a two-minute minor. Okay, let's move on. But anyway, Marchand's a great player. You still have the best line in hockey. They didn't. I don't say they didn't show up in the series. They didn't show up enough late in the series, and they had no help. Zero. None. No help at all, other than a Krejci power play goal today. So, obviously, the talent is gonna have to come at a couple different levels. They need to find a guy with playoff experience, it appears, too, that learns can take you over the hump, because right now you lost to Ottawa last year and you couldn't win a home game in that series, and you dropped games 3 and 4 at home in this series. That's a little frightening. It's a good building with great fans, passion, and Cassidy has been an amazing story, taking over for Claude for a year and a half, but it's mostly regular season success. He was lucky, fortunate to get by. He made some flubs in the Toronto series and his team bailed him out. I like Cassidy, but a couple of concern. I don't know. I didn't like his changes in game 4. Gianta in the lineup was nuts. On the same line with Donato. He was a little slow to make changes in terms of personnel moves. Didn't really try to get matchups in this series. Get Bergeron, I didn't think, away from Brayden Point in that line. He just kind of plugged and played. We're going to go with our guys. And he got beat in five games. So he's got some improvements to make as well. But they seem to need to have, I mean, they've got enough guys who have won playoff series and still some cup winners. I you wonder if on lines 2 through 4, they don't go after somebody who's won big time in the playoffs. But a little more Bruins talk coming up before we send it over to Sunday Night Baseball. We'll hear from Alex Cora as well next. This is Red Sox Review on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Just a few more minutes of Red Sox Review. I'm Ken Laird. Red Sox win at 6-1 today, but the Bruins, the bigger story, eliminated, done until September. Golf time, 3-1, Lightning, and taken out in four straight. Hard to believe, but as resilient as this Bruins team has been all year, that they just caved like that, lost 2 at home, and took a 1-0 lead today, but could not hang on. Bad giveaway from Kevin Miller in the second, power play goal. Chase late, had a power play there in the third period, but could not get the equalizer. The empty netter seals it away, 3-1, and I don't think they're going to make major changes. I think they will have minimal changes and hope for the youth to make a big difference next year. Tampa definitely was all in, though. Big trade for Ryan McDonough, and they're moving on. First team that has punched their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll get the winner of Pittsburgh and Washington. Get to some Alex Cora thoughts in just a second. We got Howard in the car. He's been waiting in. Let's work him in. Hi, Howard.
Hi there. How are you?
Excellent.
I'd like to talk very little about the Bruins. I want to say one thing. You're absolutely right. Speed wins. Speed wins in every sport. Like the baseball, they say pitching slumps, batting slumps. Speed never slumps. Okay? You get Krejci. Chara. He's a good defensive, but he's all right to be on the second line. You got to have a big guy. But what is it with this team? They got Marchand. He gets stupid penalties. He gets 3, 4, 5-game suspensions twice a year, all the time. He costs them games, and he doesn't know it. He's too stupid. He doesn't understand. You know, I can remember there was one guy in this league that's just like him, that was just like him, 20 years ago, Pat Verbeek, the Whalers. He'd get 42 or 3 goals, and he'd lead the team in penalties. You can't score from the penalty box.
I didn't think I would get a Pat Verbeek reference tonight, but Howard brought it, so that's big time. I'm just going to move on from that because you can't top that. Let's hear from Alex Cora, see if he's got a Mookie Betts update after the game.
I don't know. It seems like he wanted to stop all the talk about not throwing hard anymore. Change of speeds, good changeup, good slider, on top of hitters, elevating the fastball. Velocity was up there, and that was a great performance.
When you saw the matchup in the weather, did you feel like there was a day he...
I feel like every day is the day for him. He's been working in between starts to get that slider. I think that's very important. And you saw it today. He buried it against righties. It was okay early against lefties, but then throughout the game he found it, and there were some bad swings on it. And the changeup was a weapon. They did a good job early on to start mixing it up and keep them off balance.
How's Mookie?
He's okay. The ball hit him in the shoulder. He didn't feel great, so I just took him out. It just makes sense for us. You know, he has a day and a half off, and, it's something day-to-day. He should be, hopefully ready for Tuesday.
There you go. That's all you need. Mookie Betts is fine. Somebody check on Dale Arnold, though. Can somebody check on Dale? Bruins just got gentleman sweep. Somebody check on Dale. That's kind of fake mutt rage. I tried. Dale will be back tomorrow. He'll be fine. 2-6. Be thorough. He'll be nuanced. Coming up, we got Sunday Night Baseball. I'm Ken Laird. Back at you tomorrow morning, bright and early. Kirk and Callahan, 5:30. Don't miss it. Mutt's in after a terrible Derby day. Dead tickets again for the Mutt Man. But he's back tomorrow with Kirk and Jerry, and they'll be on fire, I'm sure. I am sure they'll be reacting to some of the whining about the officiating in the hockey world over the weekend. All right, Sunday Night Baseball is next. I'm Ken Laird. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.